Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome along to yet another episode of the Irish Farmers Journal, the Young Stock Podcast. My name is Gary Abbott, machinery correspondent here with the team, and I'm going to be your host for this week's show. So it's now the first week of March, and it's been a wintry one to say the least. Many parts of the country were hit with a thick blanket of snow last Friday, followed by wet and icy conditions over the weekend. Not exactly what farmers want to hear at the moment, as workload continues to increase. Cows are still calving, lambing is still ongoing, fodder reserves are getting lower, tanks are getting fuller. Farmers are itching to get out to the field, as well as tillage farmers who are awaiting the weather for a busy planting season. This week, I had a super chat with Stradbally man Kieran Hennessy about his career journey so far. Kieran has a great story and plenty of experiences having grown up surrounded by his family's well-known Midlands auctioneering business that is Hennessy Auctioneers, and alongside the family's mixed farm. Rather than gravitating into the business right after school, Kieran studied business and law at UCD, which later led him on to work with the likes of KPMG, Ornua and ABP, all before returning home to the family business. Kieran talks about returning home, when he knew the timing was right, and the current land and machinery markets from his perspective and his plans for the future. All in all, it's a great story and well worth listening to. So Kieran, you're very welcome to the show. I know as we record this, we're running into a busy weekend for yourself. It's the monthly machinery auction, so thanks very much for your time and I appreciate you coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Just to kick off, Kieran, will you introduce us? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and where you're from.
Kieran Hennessy from Stradbally, just outside Port Leash in County Leash. Grew up on a farm and also grew up, my father is an auctioneer. So I'm a grandfather before him as an auctioneer. Grew up in an agricultural world from a young age. And we had a cattle mart in Port Leash as well. It was always around wheeling and dealing and farming talk from a young age.
And then, Kieran, when it came to school, what was your choice? What was your studies?
Well, in secondary school in Knockbeg down in Carlow, which is not far from Stradbally. A lot of people from Stradbally even does in Carlow. A lot of people in Leash would have went to Knockbeg, school football in school. And from there, then I went up to UCD in Dublin. Like many leaving cert students, didn't really know what route I wanted to go down. Strongly considered maybe going down the ag science route, but I said I'd go down the business route, so I ended up going doing business law in UCD. So yeah, I done 4 years up in UCD and in business law in the Quinn School. But even though I'd done business law, I was probably to be found down in the ag block and in the tuck shop every Thursday morning buying the Farmer's Journal like everyone else.
And then when you came home at the weekends, Kieran, were you kind of through into the auctions, or how did your weekends look?
If we weren't farming, we were involved in auctions. So going back to years when I was younger, like the auctions now were a monthly thing, but if we roll back to years to the 90s and the noughties, we only used to do machinery auctions. They were quarterly and then it went every 2 months, and probably maybe the early noughties they went monthly. But yeah, no, definitely the weekend of an auction, you weren't going on the beer or going on holidays the week of an auction, because you were always required to. There was no getting out of that one.
I can imagine well. And then if I'm right in saying, Kieran, after college, you didn't return home to business. You spent some time elsewhere. Maybe you'll just tell us a little bit about that.
I was always encouraged to go elsewhere, even though I always kind of had it in the back of my head that I would eventually come back maybe at the auctions at some stage, or, you know, I could never really get away with it. I kind of caught the bug from a young age, whether it was going to cattle marts or going to machinery auctions. You know, I was always something I really enjoyed and wanted to come back to eventually. But after doing the degree in UCD, didn't really know what I wanted to do at that moment in time. I suppose when you're 21 or 22 years of age, your whole life is ahead of you, and you're required to make a few important decisions on what career paths you want to take. But originally, actually, believe it or not, I actually done the graduate program with Dawn Meats. I joined the graduate program and lasted about only 4 months. I was down in Granite, down in Waterford, in a boarding hall for the first 4 months. And I don't know, maybe I was a bit soft. Maybe I didn't last too long, and I decided to go back and do accountancy. So I actually done an internship when I was in UCD with KPMG for one summer. Luckily enough, they took me back. So I signed up to a 4-year contract with them and became an accountant. But at the same time, while working with KPMG, it was very similar to my college days. I was home most weekends, either farming or involved in machinery auctions and that. So still, I never really got away from it. The bug remained. So yeah, done 4 years in KPMG, enjoyed it thoroughly. But I wanted to kind of get in industry. When I had 4 years done, I had my certificate as an accountant. I joined RNUA, or formerly it was the Irish Dairy Board, but now more known as RNUA. Worked as an accountant there for about 2.5 years. And I was lucky enough while I was there, I got to do a bit of traveling around the world. I was lucky enough to go to Chicago with RNUA. I got out to Spain. I even went to China with RNUA. They had a factory out in China. So I never, even though I was an accountant, and I never really wanted to get away from the agri industry or the food industry. So I was determined to stay with it. And yet, RNUA was a great experience. Really enjoyed it. Got to see a bit of the world as well while I was there.
And when you were out in Chicago and when you were out in China, what was your role, or what did you see when you were on your travels?
I started out when I was in RNUA. First of all, I was a financial accountant. So I was actually working in the trading division. As an accountant there, the trading division, I suppose, was the division that bought, say, the butter, powders and the cheese off all the co-ops around Ireland. So it was a big trading division with a fairly substantial turnover. And I was just one of the accountants there. But after about a year or so of doing that, or a year and a half of doing that, an opportunity arose. They were looking for an internal audit manager in RNUA. They were looking for someone to join the internal audit team. So I threw my name in the hat. I knew there was going to be a bit of travel involved in it. Wasn't nothing severe, maybe 2 weeks here and there. I said, look, I'm a young person. I hadn't seen much of the world at that stage. So I said, look, I'll give it a go. Luckily enough, I got the job in the internal audit team. That was a very enjoyable part of working with RNUA, seeing factories in Chicago, seeing factories in Spain and in China. So like, you don't get to go to China very often. So it was a great experience. I moved on then to a different industry, but within the agri base again. I moved on to the sheep division of ABP, Irish Country Meats, which were based down in Wexford.
While you were there, what were you working at?
I joined Irish Country Meats as the group financial controller. So I was lucky enough, I was only 28 at the time, but I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to go into a senior management role within the organization. I was the group financial controller. I looked after three factories. So the factory down in Camolin in Wexford, which would have been one of the main lamb processing sites in the country. I also looked after the site in Navan from a financial point of view. The third factory within the ICM group was a factory out in Belgium, in Liège in Belgium. I was in charge of the financial aspects for Irish Country Meats. I joined Irish Country Meats kind of around the time when ABP actually had taken over, or had got involved with Fane Valley in a joint venture. I think it was a 50-50 joint venture at the time. And I think since then it's moved on to a 100% ownership structure. But that's since I left. I left in, it was roughly May 2021. So a few things have changed down there since then. But no, it was great. I was in charge. I had a team of about 20-25 people at the time. So I was young, determined, and I had no fear at the time either. So it worked out well for me. But I had a great team down there, so they helped me as well. No, it was a very enjoyable time, and sad to leave it. I'd go back in a heartbeat, but I suppose I always wanted to come back to the machinery auctions. And when I left them in May of 2021, that was my aim, to get back with the machinery auctions in Port Leash and with Hennessy Auctioneers to hopefully drive on things and change a few things and help my father. That's what I done in May 2021.
And how did you know, Kieran, that the timing was right to come home, or how did you come to that decision?
It was a very hard decision. Have to come for having maybe a good support network around you and work. You know, there was a lot of things that went through my head at the time, but from a young age, I always had it in my head that I didn't want to jump back into a family business straight away. I wanted to kind of go and experience new things. I knew long term I wouldn't be an accountant, but I knew it would be no load to carry. I suppose my parents would have always encouraged me as well to go do new things as well. I was happy once. I think between KPMG, between RNU, and between, say, ABP and Irish Country Meats, I worked for over nearly 11 years away from the family business, even though I was still very much involved in the family business at the weekends and that, and on holidays. I felt like the timing was right. I learned plenty and I met loads of people, and I have some very good friends even still to today from all them three organisations. And if I ever stuck or need help in a certain area, I think I have a good phone book there that I can of people that I can call and ask for help if needs be. And I suppose that's important, like to make those relationships. Going back to Hennessy Auctioneers, I went back to a team which consisted of my father John, my mother Julie, my wife as well. My wife Olive is an auctioneer and she works for Hennessy Auctioneers. And then I used to come back into the mix then with one or two other people that work with us, Colin O'Connor, and there's a new girl there, Amy, that works with us as well. So going back, maybe being involved in organisations with a couple of hundred people, like going back to a small family-run business with four, five, six people, was a bit of a change. Definitely, there was months there where I was like, I was fearing it. I thought I had made the worst decision in my life. But three years on, I think I'm happy enough that I made the decision. The timing definitely was right. And I was still in my early 30s. I'm 35 now, so I was still only 31 or 32 at the time. Things failed. I was still young enough to go back. And one thing I didn't do with all organisations, I burnt no bridges. When I left ABP, I actually had more or less flagged it to them maybe a year or two prior. So they knew it was coming down the track. So we were able to, it wasn't a shock to them. And we kind of put a plan in place for me to leave the business. One thing you don't do in Ireland is burn a bridge, because the country is it's too small.
Very small place.
Yeah, exactly.
But you were lucky, you had a great skill set coming home to the business that was going to be off asset and you could put it to use with the business at home going forward. And with that, have you seen any challenges you came home to when you came home to the business? Was there many opportunities? I'm sure there's lots of them. Was there any particular challenges that you needed to address and overcome?
To be fair, we always had a good structure in place. I'd be fairly, so maybe it's going back to my accountancy background, but I like a little bit of structure and having systems in place. And we kind of move more and more away from pen and paper, maybe. And probably before I joined on a full-time basis, you know, we were trying to maybe smarten things up a bit and have a little bit better when it comes to systems. And you know, my father is old school, like he came from a different era. Computers weren't really a thing. You know, they're definitely not a forte of his. He was happy to take on board some of the changes that say I wanted to bring into place. The only simple things, like even bringing in accounts packages and stuff like that, and getting away from the pen and paper. But no, everyone embraced it. Like, it wasn't very hard for them to embrace. There's only four or five of us working in the business, so it was easy to do it. But no, look, there wasn't a whole lot to change, I suppose. It's just a matter of getting the shoulder behind the wheel and trying to drive things on a little bit more. That was all, really.
And I know, Kieran, from myself, and I know a lot of our listeners will have heard of Hennessy Auctioneers, especially around the machinery auctions, but there's a lot more to that aside from the machinery. There's land, everything. Maybe you'll just tell us a little bit about the business from a broader aspect.
People would probably, across the country, would know of the machinery auction of Port Leash, but more locally, we have an office in Port Leash on Main Street in Port Leash, and we do property. We wouldn't be probably widely renowned for doing residential property, but we'd sell probably to maybe 10, 15 houses a year. But yeah, we do a good bit of land. I suppose coming from a farming background and coming from, like, my father and my grandfather before, like, were involved with running the cattle mart in Port Leash, and they would have handled a lot of land. We sell a good bit of farmland in Leash and surrounding counties, and we do a good bit of land leasing as well, and mainly in Leash, but we do a bit in Kildare and Offaly and Kilkenny as well. And we do a lot of valuation work, just your typical auctioneering work, I suppose, small town auctioneer. Like, the machinery auction in the last maybe 5 years, I suppose, has grown to become a big part of the business now. But no, we definitely do. We like selling farmland. Not unfortunately, leash, not much farmland comes up for sale. But any bits that do come up, we generally do be involved in them, thankfully. And going forward, I think that's not going to change. But I think in the next couple of years, I think you're probably going to see a bit more land coming onto the market as people maybe start to retire from farming, and maybe there's no one to take over the family farm. And you're probably going to see a lot more farmland coming to the market, whether it be for sale or whether it be for lease. And we're definitely not getting away from that side of the business anyway, because we it's actually a nice side of the business as well. Father John is... He really enjoys that side of the business. He loves getting up in front of a crowd and doing a land auction.
When we are talking about land, in the last 12 months, farming's been through a tough period regards commodity prices and weather. Has that had any effect on the land market, or is there still guys paying big money for leasing ground?
I think roll back 12 months ago to the spring of 2023, like no doubt in saying that like land leasing went crazy. The norm maybe going back maybe 3-4 years ago, it was 150 to 250 euro an acre. Last spring, things jumped on a level, and probably to a level maybe some people would say is not sustainable. And I would agree with that myself. But unfortunately, as everyone knows, dairy farms have grown substantially in recent years, and the cow numbers have increased. And as a consequence, then dairy farmers especially have sought to get more land. And obviously leasing was the most affordable way of doing it. Yeah, and the market definitely has risen substantially. To roll forward 12 months to this year, things haven't really calmed down a whole lot. There's still right. A huge demand there for land. People are looking for land. They don't want to drop their cow numbers, and maybe the government are to blame in a way. Because Europe maybe as well, that you know they're kind of pushing farmers into a situation is if they want to stay in business, need more land. And when everyone's kind of singing on the one hymn sheet, you're going to have a situation. There's not enough land out there, and naturally enough, prices are either going to hold or start to rise. And I think the land market in the last couple of months there for this year is probably not as high as last year, but it hasn't gone back to the levels we were seeing maybe in 2022 or 2021. It's still pretty high, and I don't think it's going to change, unfortunately.
As you say, policy is probably driving a lot of that, whether it's nitrates or irrigation.
Yeah,
if guys want to sustain numbers, they need to find land somewhere.
Yeah, look, some things I don't agree with, but look, the rules are the rules, and if you're going to play with the rules, you have to get more land. It's a debate for another day, but the rules probably are not very fair. And I think as a consequence, you'll see a lot of tillage farmers have been pushed out of land. And I don't think that's good. I think it's bad if everyone goes into dairy farming. You need a bit of balance. You need beef. You need tillage. You know, there's a wider picture there. You need sheep. You need pigs. There's room
for each other.
Yeah, exactly. But from a land sale point of view, unfortunately, I said in Leash, not much land actually comes up for sale. And any bits of land that do come up for sale, you know, there's very strong demand there.
And you mentioned cattle marts. That was kind of a business you were in going back years ago. Do you miss that side of the business, having the mart?
I never really experienced much of the mart. The mart in Port Leash closed down in and around the time of the foot and mouth. When the foot and mouth came in, the mart never reopened much after that. But I never really experienced the mart in Port Leash too much. I would have been pretty young, say in the 90s. But I love going to mart still. Like, I go to our local mart in Ballinakill. I go to other marts, you know, around surrounding counties as well. There's a great buzz off cattle mart and being around the cattle ring. No different than the machinery auction, I suppose.
And on the machinery, Kieran, what have you seen within the machinery market over the last 12 to 18 months? Are you seeing kind of business dropping, prices, secondhand machinery? It had gone crazy during COVID. Are we seeing prices coming back, or what are the trends you've seen?
Things did go a bit crazy during COVID. There's no point in saying otherwise. But I'd say fresh machinery. So, and it's well-minded regardless of age. Age is not really a factor. It's, you know, how well a machine was minded, you know, especially if it came off a farm. It was always well minded. Like that machinery is holding value. Like, you know, if you look back the last 12 months, I do monthly auction reports there, on our Facebook page and on different things, and yourselves and Farmers Journal do auction reports for us as well. And you can see, like, there's some very strong prices for well-minded equipment. I'd say on the tractor front, definitely the tractor market, second-hand tractors have probably dipped a little bit. As I said, the first half of 2023, the market was pretty strong. But if you look at the second half of 2023, definitely, you know, certain types of tractors have struggled a little bit. I think any tractors with higher hours, any tractors over 10,000 hours have definitely fallen off a little bit. But anything that's clean, anything that's well-minded, direct off farm tractors, you know, maybe in or around the 5,000-7,000 hour mark, I think they're holding their own, and there's lads out there willing to, you know, give a premium price from a tractor that they know has come from a good home. Like, at the end of the day, the price of new machinery is so expensive now, like, you know, 100,000 doesn't buy you much of a tractor anymore. So there's people out there, don't you, spending 120,000, 130,000, 40,000 on maybe a 130 or 40 horsepower tractor. So if they see a tractor that might be 10 or 12 years old, in the 40,000-50,000 bracket, they'll buy it, like, if they think it's well minded.
Lots of work left in it, yeah. But the tough industry at the moment, whether it's outlook or weather or anything, do you think we're going to see more machinery, more contractors, more farmers selling out, getting out of the industry altogether?
I don't know whether you see people getting out. I think you'll see people maybe scaling back. I think in the contractors, we're seeing more and more contractors coming to us now that maybe, you know, they're looking at offloading some of their equipment. They're not looking to retire, but they're just looking to maybe downsize. And maybe part of the reason for that is, you know, maybe roll back 5, 6, 7 years ago, they probably had more drivers to drive machines. Now, labour's harder got now. So in a case where maybe a lad had 10 tractors on the go 5 years ago and he had 10 drivers, now you know, you have a case where he might have only 3 or 4 drivers. So he kind of has been forced to scale back. You know, so there's no, like, machinery, if you have clean machinery sitting in your yard and you don't have drivers to drive them, like, you're tying up money in machinery there. That's, you know, so you need to sell them or try find drivers. And I think it's fairly evident across Ireland, like, labour is scarce, and especially trying to get people to drive tractors, it's not an easy thing to do. So unfortunately, people are just been forced to sell stuff. But I don't think people are looking to get out completely. On the farming front, yeah, exactly, just refocus maybe and focus on areas that are making money. But on the farming side of things, there is, look, naturally enough, we've an aging farming population, but there is still plenty of young people getting into farming. I can see it in the last couple of years with our own auctions. Like, there's more and more young people coming around the yard trying to buy machinery, and they're taking over the farm at home. So there are people retiring, naturally enough, that happens. But I think there's still plenty. I wouldn't be too negative about it. I see plenty of young faces coming into our yard to buy machinery too. Male and female, I should say, too, as well. You're seeing a lot more female farmers now as well.
For your own business, Kieran, what's the plans for the future? Is there plans to maybe grow the machinery auction side of the business, or open a second office, or what are the plans? I'm sure you've got some in store.
Ah, no major plans. Look, we're a small family run business, and that's the way we want to stay. Like, things like the auctions are going well. We've put in a lot of effort in the last couple of years to try and maintain the standard of equipment, trying to keep the standard pretty good. And no, there's by no means, we're definitely not expanding anyway. I think we're, like I said, the auction coming up this weekend, like, there's 1,000 lots in the auction. Now it's split between 500 lots of big items, which will be sold live on the Saturday, and then there's 500 lots of kind of smaller, like, tools, miscellaneous farm items that'll be sold in a timed auction. But to be honest with you, like, we're at capacity at that, and we definitely won't be getting any bigger. Ideally, we'd like to have 800 lots every month, but look, you're not going to refuse business. We have a good reputation now of getting good prices for stuff, and people are coming to us, and people are coming to us from all over Ireland to sell stuff, which is great. Ireland's a small country. There's a good road network. Portlaoise is in the middle of the country, so we're well positioned, and we have a great customer database now across all 32 counties. No plans to expand. Just stay doing what we do and try to do it well and make improvements along the way.
COVID brought about a lot of changes to your business as well as everybody else's. Like, the big one was moving from on-site in-person auctions to online. Maybe you'll tell us a little bit about that time and maybe the transition from in-person to online.
COVID was great from that point of view. I suppose if you roll back before COVID, like we looked at going online, maybe going back a couple of years before COVID-19, like a lot of the auctions in England were kind of going online and we were looking at what was going on over there. And we made inquiries at various businesses to see was it an option for us to go online. But to be honest with you, it was probably going to cost too much money. There wasn't enough businesses in Ireland offering the service, the online auction service or the software that we needed. So we just kind of we went on with our way. We just stayed with what we were used to instead with the in-person auction on site. But when COVID-19 happened, I suppose things changed. And I suppose we were lucky that the cattle mart were put in a position where they were forced to go online. And luckily enough, you had a few companies like LSL, which we use ourselves, and there's other companies there as well. There's Marti, there's Mart Bids, and thankfully them software developers came to the market, developed packages that were suitable for the cattle marts, and we piggybacked on it. The software was we were able to adapt it and apply it to the machinery auctions, and we've never looked back since. And if you look at the cattle marts have never looked back since. Cattle have never been as good a trade since the march went online, and machinery is the exact same. It went very well. I think our first auction was in June 2020, the year of COVID, that we kicked off the first auction and we've never looked back since. And LSL, the software that we use has been great, and we've got a great service from them, and we've made changes and tweaks and changes along the way to suit the machinery auctions, and buyers and sellers are happy.
I was kind of always amazed with how the older generation got up to speed with the whole online bidding element and how they adapted to it so quick, and now it's second nature. It's like being in a mart. It's just second nature to open the phone, open the LSL or Mart Bids app, and there you are. It's all in front of you.
It's great. Like we have men coming into us on a monthly basis in their 70s and 80s. And we actually, believe it or not, there's probably 10 customers that come to mind that never had a smartphone until they were forced, whether they were buying cattle or whether they were trying to buy machinery with us, that actually went out and bought a smartphone just to be able to try buy stuff online. So they'd have their Nokia 3310 or the sod of turf, they'd hold on to that phone for the
every... for an upgrade.
Yeah, well, they'd hold on to that phone for the everyday use, but then they'd take out the Android phone or the iPhone then on the weekend of an auction, tap away. But well, the older generation definitely have adapted very well to it.
As well as that, it also brought in customers, potential customers and bidders from abroad. Am I right in saying that?
It's actually amazing. Like, on a monthly basis, we could have 10, 20 bidders that wouldn't be in Ireland, like, and that you never would have thought of that before, like. But the bulk of the buyers, like, we have a couple of people that are living in Australia, Irish people living in Australia, living in Dubai, working. Their parents are still at home on the family farm, and they're buying bits of machinery for the farm at home, and they're getting up at God knows what hours to keep an eye on the auction, but they love it. It's become part of their monthly routine, like. And yeah, no, it's great. They'd ring me and ask me what's that machine like, or give me a bit of background, send me a video. You'd send them a WhatsApp to be happy enough, and they'd bid it and bid on it. And yeah, that's just the way the world has evolved now. The world is a smaller place, I suppose. But yeah, we'd also have foreign buyers. Like, we'd have a couple of buyers every month from England looking out for maybe clean tractors or, classic tractors, vintage tractors. We had a digger there last month that went to America, like, Caterpillar digger, like, these things, wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the online bidding. We even had a farmer from County Meath that bought a McConnell hedge cutter, and he was in the casino in Las Vegas. So there's a good one for you.
Mad. And then these guys, especially the bigger lots, do you have to organise finance, or do you provide finance, or how does that side of the business work?
We don't get into providing finance, but a lot of the finance companies now are happy to take our invoice and provide finance on a purchase for a farmer or a contractor. So we're classified the same as a dealer, so as walking into a dealership, we fall under the same category. So we don't get involved in the finances. side of it itself, or, you know, the farmer still has to deal with his finance company and get approval subject to their usual terms and conditions. But no, finance companies are happy to deal with auctions.
Regards the monthly machinery auction, all the machines are on site the week ahead of the auction, and then the week ahead of the auction as well, there's also viewing. Is that right?
Say this week, say the week of the auction, Monday to Friday, we were open for viewing. And then last week on the Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, we would have taken in all the entries. And it's a big change from before. Like, going back to when we were doing the in-person auction, we would have taken in the entries on the Thursday and Friday, and the auction then was on the Saturday. And now, obviously, the auctions weren't as big. Fairly high-pressure stuff. But, look, the reason for it is you get the stuff in, you get the photos, you get the videos. Like, anyone that follows us on Facebook, Hennessy Auctioneers Machinery Auctions, or on TikTok, on our Dundee lads, you know, they can see, like, you have to advertise, like, the values of the equipment is higher now than before. So, you know, you can't just stick an item up on a Thursday or Friday night before the Saturday, advertise it and expect your customers to turn up then on a Saturday in Bidford. So, yeah, we feel we get the stuff in, you have a week to 10 days to get it advertised as best you can. And it gives people more flexibility. Like, you know, it's not going to suit everyone to come on a particular day to view stuff. So if you give them the Monday to Friday to come, people have more options. And you'd also be surprised the amount of people. We have a fairly good reputation now from the point of view of that. People will ring us. They won't even come to look at the equipment. They'll give us a call. We're farmers ourselves. We know machinery. We've grown up in machinery. We're used to operating machinery. So we know a little bit about machinery. We're not just auctioneers. And people will ring us up and in good faith ask us what's a machine like, and we'll give an honest opinion. And you'd be surprised the amount of people that would do that and wouldn't even come to look at a machine.
Just take your word for it. No, I think that's important too, that kind of touch. I think it's good to see. Moving away from the auctioneering side of the business, at home, you mentioned that you do a little bit of farming on the side. Can you tell us a little bit about Enterprise Dairy Calf to Beef, I believe?
Beef and tillage farm. We do a bit of calf to beef. We buy in Wainans, we buy in stores, do a little bit of everything. And we grow some crops as well. We grow barley, and some years we grow fodder beet as well. Simple enough operation. We're part-time farmers, or weekend farmers, like a lot of people out there. So we're working Monday to Friday, 9 to 6, and we work the odd Saturdays and Sundays as well. Unfortunately, the beef suits us. It gives us a bit of flexibility, so you feed the cattle in the morning and the evenings, and you work during the day.
Stayed away from farming and the auction. Have you any interests, or what do you spend your downtime at?
Play a little bit of football. Getting on now, so as I said, I'm 35, but I've always played Gaelic football in my local football club, Annanock. Still playing with them, and yeah, that's football really. Farming, auctions. Going watching sport, nothing major, nothing too exciting in my life. I like to keep it fairly simple.
And before we wrap up, Kieran, I'm going to hit you up now with our quick fire question round. Are you a tea drinker or a coffee drinker?
Depends on the time of the day. I was always a tea drinker, but more recent years, I think I've become a coffee drinker.
It must be the rush of a Saturday morning, an auction, you need the energy, the caffeine hit.
Definitely, yeah.
The tractor brands, I know you probably drove the majority of them in and out of the yard now. Maybe they weren't the best of examples, maybe they were, but what would be your dream tractor make and model?
My grandfather bought a Fendt in 1987. We still have that Fendt today. We're Fendt people. We're by no means, we don't have big Fendts. We've all 300 series Fendts. So my favourite tractor, I need a 300 series Fendt, 4 cylinders.
Expensive taste, especially now in the modern era of
fence.
Anyway,
yeah, look, all tractors are expensive, so
that's it. Now, come lunchtime, are you a breakfast roll or chicken roll kind of guy?
Chicken roll.
Or would you rather pick stones or foot turf?
I think I'd like pick stones.
And then, this is a controversial one now, it kind of depends on what part of the country you're in, but is it a fork, a pike, or a grape?
Fork.
Kieran, it's great having you on the show. Thanks very much for your time, I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. It's great. Something a little bit different, and thanks for the opportunity.
So there were some great insights there into Kieran Hennessy's career, and particularly in terms of his journey to date and return home to the family business, all while remaining within the agri sector. Once again, I'd like to thank Kieran for his time, and to you, our valued listeners, for your time. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same place, for another episode of the Young Stock Podcast.
We're currently looking for young people across Ireland to interview on the podcast. If you know someone who's under the age of 35 that has an interesting story, career or experience that you want to share, then send on their name and get in touch with the Young Farmers Journal team. We want to give a voice to young people across rural Ireland. What issues are currently bothering you? Get in touch by emailing youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 83 66465.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.